ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host. I am thrilled that you're here with us today. Looking forward to having an amazing conversation. This is going to be a powerful topic today. We're going to be looking at some alternative perspectives to loss. And I'll tell you up front, I'm going to push in quite a bit in this topic. A lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas, a lot of things I want to throw out to you and ways that you can hold this maybe a little differently. But I kind of liken this, you know, as I was thinking about this in preparation for the show. We have loss associated with so many things. We lose a lot of things in the human experience. But interestingly enough to me is I don't ever see things as loss. We misplace things. We change things. And ultimately, I think the thing that I want to try to convey in this idea of loss is that I want us to think about loss a little bit differently. Think of it as in terms of change without the negative environment or without the negative implications, that really, truly, the idea of loss is simply a form of change. But we're going to go into that in many levels because there's a lot to that. So first off, let me say thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you're here and being a part of the show. I love that you're here wherever you are, all around the world. I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here to watch. If you're on watching us on E360 TV, either on the app or at the .com, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. Make sure to check out the whole slew of wonderful shows and episodes we've got on E360 TV. We're also live on YouTube and Facebook, which I would appreciate you hitting that like button. Share this. Let people know we're here. Let people know about your experience with Adventures in Truth. And of course, we're also on my website, www.adventuresintruth.com. I'm live on the website right now. And you can also catch all of the shows as podcasts, obviously, on my Facebook page as well. But I'm thrilled that you're here. Thank you for being here. We're going to have a great show, and we'll be right back right after this. www.fearisachoicebook.com. I encourage you, thank you all out there who have gotten the book, who are reading the book. I continue to be super excited by all of you out there that are sharing your experiences with the book, that are talking about how this book is changing your life, because it's transforming your relationship with fear. And I know that sounds kind of crazy to say that a book is going to change my life, but many books have had a profound impact on my life. And I think this book can have a profound impact on yours. Because we are ultimately about changing our relationship with fear. And when you change that relationship, everything changes in your world. You see, the fear consciousness is a way of dumbing down our experience. The fear consciousness kind of limits our viewpoint of life. When you change your relationship with fear, understand that it's a choice and understand that you don't have to indulge it, it begins to open up the potentials and opportunities that you didn't even know existed before because you've lived in such a dumbed down experience. So it's a really miraculous and powerful thing when you begin to connect the dots in your own life and begin to see those transforming things happen. That when you change that relationship, when that fear is no longer the consciousness that rules you, but that you live in a space of opportunity, that all of the things that are available to you are incredible, and the way it changes your life is incredible. www.fearsachoicebook.com. Thank you again for those of you who have ordered the book, who are reading the book. If you have, I appreciate you reviewing it and letting us know your experience with it wherever you've ordered, whether it's Amazon or Barnes & Noble or IndieBound, wherever you happen to get your books. We deeply appreciate it and looking forward to talk about it more. And if you would like to learn more about the book, head over to the website, but you can also go to our YouTube page. There are episodes there where I go through set chapters of the book, talking about them and filling them out even further. So again, thank you. www.fearsachoicebook.com. Check it out. And we will be right back. Wrong button. Gotta watch my button. All right. This is the year of conscious creation. And I love talking about this. I love sharing this because this has been such a powerful and profound experience throughout the course of the year. I ask you to join the movement. Become a part of this movement because all that's required, all that's needed from you is your energy, your attention, and your intention. Bring it to the table. You know, we are 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds that are inhabiting this amazing planet called Earth. And I call us these unique worlds because each of us is creating our own reality. Each of us can only create our own reality. Only I can live my life. Only I can make the choices and decisions about my life. Only I can unfold the experience of my life. So it's important that we understand that going forward, because in these unique worlds, we can now harmonize in different energies. We always can, but this way we're going to be conscious of it, this year of conscious creation, filling this space with goodness. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. Saying that 10 times when you wake in the morning, 10 times at the end of the day, and then using it throughout the day in order to just find your zone, find your alignment. Just, you know, if you're feeling a little wonky, it helps to fine-tune you. Appreciation is a key of this. Focusing in appreciation to the things in and around your world that every day are there, and that just by engaging them in appreciation, you begin to unfurl this goodness in your world. And then as you share your goodness, as you tap into your goodness, and I tap into my goodness, and she taps into his, and he taps into hers, suddenly we're creating this massive energy. We're creating this major tipping point in the mass consciousness of the planet, where we begin to see the goodness unfolding on a regular basis, in a consistent basis. And so that's why I continue to push this and continue to encourage it. So we have a place that we can focus ourselves that's not in the negative, but is in the positive and what we want to create moving forward. So my world is good. Check it out. Thank you for being part of it. Continue to share the things that happen for you as a result of this experience. I'm excited to hear about them, and I'm excited as this movement continues to create momentum and create and pick up steam, and how powerfully it's impacting those around us. So thanks for being a part of it. If you're not yet, join us. It's an amazing place to be. Appreciate that. We're going to start the show here. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. All right. So dealing with loss, a new perspective, really, this is going to be a fun conversation, I think. Well, it's fun for me. I don't know. You know, it could be triggering. And I'm going to say that from the beginning. This could be triggering because I'm going to fly in the face of a lot of concepts about loss that I think are unnecessary. And I'm going to start with the basis of this. And that is the idea of seeing that losses change without the negative focus. If you take all the story out, if you take all the stuff out, simply what is happening is change. If you think about loss in the way of, I think I wrote in my intro here, we'll talk about this in just a second. Just saying the word stimulates powerful feelings in us, and we have constructed our reality around the idea of loss. We lose jobs, we lose family members and friends, we lose love, we lose money, we lose respect. Ultimately, we lose our life. which in a way it does. It's kind of a miserable state of affairs from that perspective, you know? And so that's where I really wanted to dive into this. I'm like, I don't understand why, because I don't have the same experience of loss that many people seem to have. And I think that's because I've confronted my mortality on more than one occasion in my lifetime. And I don't mean subtly. I've confronted it in cancer. I've confronted it in AIDS. I've confronted it in parasites. I have had major health issues that have left a question mark about my time on this planet. And I think once you've confronted that, the idea of loss becomes a foreign idea, because I think the idea of loss is driven from the idea of fear. I think it's driven from fear of death. I think that we, as humans, especially in this country, but the humans that I know, construct our whole lives around the idea that we're going to lose in the end, that because we're dying, we're losing. And so this idea of loss is built into the consciousness of the planet. And so everywhere we look, we lose things. But the most important things I think that we lose are, of course, the people. But is that always true? Sometimes people's loss of a job is more intense than their loss of another human being. For some, the loss of an important or a specific or powerful artifact or something that we own can also create these issues. So I want us to really feel into this idea of loss, and I want to start at this foundational place, which is losses change without the negative focus. So what's the negative focus? Well, the negative focus to me is this idea that death is a loss in our experience. So we come into this world from the non-physical. We come in this space of love, this magnificence that we come in as, and then we are entrained into this environment full of fear, constant stimulation of fear, and not enoughness, and not good enoughness. And then building into that, we add religion. And the religious piece then adds this whole other layer of guilt and silliness that seems to create a continual paradox in our experience of this angry God, or this God that doesn't love us, or this God that only loves us in a particular way. But I started to think about that even more deeply, and I thought this is really interesting. Because in the religions that I were a part of, there was always a reference to the afterlife, right? Whether if you're in Catholicism, there's always the reference to heaven or to hell, which is an afterlife, a good afterlife and a bad afterlife. Well, I believe there's an afterlife, but not in that fashion. I don't believe it in the way that the church has construed it. But again, that whole tenet is based in fear. Right? Whether you're going to heaven or hell is a way to keep you in fear your whole life, not knowing how you're being judged, not knowing how you're being focused on, which again comes back to this idea of confronting your mortality. We don't lose anything. We may lose this physical body, but we're not here to know that we lost it, right? Once that happens, it's done. The only people who are experiencing that loss are the people that are still here. But for those of us who are here who are experiencing what we consider loss, particularly I find this struggle around the idea of losing people in our lives. And so where I want to go with this, it's going to go pretty deep. And I want to take a minute to focus us because the next piece of this is really going to blow this wide open. So I want to take a moment of focus because I want to bring all of our energies together here to really dive deeply into this energy as much as we possibly can. And I find that where two or more are gathered, we can harmonize in our field. We can bring our energies together. And in the course of this conversation, we can unfold some pretty miraculous things, because as we fine tune in energy, we fine tune together. And so then questions and ideas, and you can ask questions here on the show. If you go to the Adventures in Truth Facebook page, you can type in questions. They will come to me in the studio. I can respond to them here. Your comments or questions are always welcome. I love being able to interact with you that way. So let's take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Once again, in through the nose and out through the mouth. Nice, big, deep breath, getting yourself focused and centered into this space, into this moment, right here, right now. Taking another deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you take your next breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to let yourself settle into the center of your chest, into the center of your breath, into the center of your heart. And if you take your two middle fingers and you come down from your clavicles, kind of at 45 degrees, right into the center of the chest, right? So down here is the base of the breastbone. This is where the solar plexus is. If you trace this back up, right up in here, just feeling your way in, you'll feel a little divot there, a little space for your heart. And this is just the heart chakra, but this is the center of the heart. This is the center of breath. So as you're inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth, just focus your awareness into that space, into that center of your being. And as you do, I want you to consciously radiate and emanate the energy of love. Just call it out. I choose to radiate and emanate the energy of pure love from my heart, from the spark of the divine that is in the center of me. And I radiate that love in 360 degrees in all directions and all dimensions. And I inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth. And with each breath, going more deeply into that experience, more deeply and more powerfully aligning to that experience. And as you continue to breathe and as you continue to focus, just be aware of that big giant orb of love that is expanding out from the center of your being. And illuminate that giant orb with the light of loving kindness and expand it out into your world as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, expand that orb to embrace your community, wherever it is you are, wherever you live, wherever you happen to be right now. Expand that orb to include and embrace your community, this giant orb of pure love that you are radiating from the center of your heart that is now embracing your entire community. You are now saturating your community in pure love and illuminating it with the light of loving kindness as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, and you feel that powerful love energy saturating that field, focusing in these words for just a moment, and from your heart to the hearts of all sentient beings within the influence of this orb, send this energy. May we all be well. May we all be happy. May we all be free from suffering. May we all be well. May we all be happy. May we all be free from suffering. May we all be well. May we all be happy. And may we all be free from suffering. And feel the power of that love as it saturates and penetrates every living, sentient being within the sphere of your influence, saturating everything with love. As you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you expand that sphere of love now, expand it out to embrace the entire planet, saturating the planet in pure love, illuminating it in the light of loving kindness. And from that space, sitting in that space, focus into the breath. We're going to do a counted breath. We're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to hold at the top. We're going to exhale to a count of six so we can purge all the old energy and air out of the system. And then we're going to rest in the void for a moment before we carry on to the next breath. Remember that breath is the foundation of life. It is chi. It's life force. It's prana. It is the energy that animates us. It is the energy that fills us with aliveness. And so here we go as we breathe, focusing into the inhale, inhaling two, three, four. Feeling full, feeling amazing. Feel that fullness and relax into it. Relax the shoulders and the neck. And now consciously purging that energy in air. Exhale. Two, three, four, five, six. Beautiful. And now sit in that empty space. Sit in the void. Comfortable and relaxed. Body is completely relaxed in the void. And now engage the lungs. Inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling amazing. Feel all of that energy coursing through every particle of your being. And now surrender it all with the breath. Two, exhaling. Three, four, five, six. Beautiful. And now rest in that empty space. Rest in the void. Rest in the space of not know. Be comfortable in that space as you engage the lungs and inhale, taking in new energy, new life force. 2, 3, 4, feeling completely full in that life force, feeling it permeate every element of your being, and then surrendering it in this moment, exhaling. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amazing. And now rest in that void space in anticipation. Rest in that emptiness, just preparing yourself for the next moment of creation. And continue the breathing process now on your own as you listen to my voice. Continuing with that powerful inhale and expanding the chest in every direction, feeling that beautiful oxygen and air and life force just animating your entire being as you hold it. And then as you release it, surrendering every moment to the next moment. Every breath is a new moment of creation. Feel it fully and completely as you empty and rest in the void. Rest in that beautiful space of not know, the space of all things. And when you choose engage, inhale and continue on. Let that breath continue to revitalize you. Let it continue to expand and grow your energy. Feel your vitality. Feel the power of you. As you continue to focus in the breath, take in these words and let them just wash over you. Let them fill you. I surrender to my love. I surrender to my love. I surrender to my potential. I surrender to my love. I surrender to my abundance. I surrender to my love. I surrender to my love. And staying connected to the breath, complete the cycle of the breath wherever you are. We'll continue to talk for a moment, feeling that breath continue to move through you. And you can stay connected to that breath for this whole show. It won't hurt you one bit. So feel your way into that. And as you do, keeping that focus now into the center of the heart, as we finish this process, I want you to become aware of your field. I want you, from the space of your heart, I want you to look out into your field. Look out into the energy that is you. And just become acquainted, at least in this moment, with the magnificence of all that you are, with the incredible energy of all that you are. Equipped for change, always. Feel the magnificence and bring your awareness back into this space as we carry on the show. And welcome back. Thank you for being a part of that. Dealing with loss, this new perspective. So we started with consider this. Consider that loss is change without the negative focus. It is fear. Fear alone, I believe, that has created a focus that loss even exists. When we misplace an object, we misplace it. We set it somewhere we weren't thinking about, we weren't conscious of, we weren't attending to. Is it ever really lost? Or is it simply lost to our perception in the moment? And is it really lost, or is it simply misplaced? And really, it's misplaced, right? But now we want to take this a little bit deeper. Consider this. So along with loss, particularly of humans or of animals that we're close to, but this process of loss applies to a lot of things because people go from loss to grief, okay? And grief has been researched in this multi-stage process of how we did it and how we process loss. And it's all very kind of interesting because to me, grief is nothing more than a temporary identity crisis that's created by the change to your environment or your experience. Consider that. Consider grief is a temporary identity crisis that's created by the change to your environment or experience. Now, why would that be important? Well, because it allows you to put the focus in the right place. When we lose something significant, when something significant is it's hard to take the word out of the vocabulary. It's hard to move the word in the vocabulary because it's so entrained in our vocabulary. So I will catch it as often as I can to describe, because it's not useful to describe it using the word. So we believe we lose something, a person, an animal. We'll use it there because that seems to be the greatest way to say it. But what I see happening is that the grief is the result of not the loss, but the change in the environment, the change that's created because we now no longer understand who we are in relation to that thing, that person, that experience, and our life and world. So we built an identity around that person, place, or thing being in our experience. And when that person, place, or thing is no longer in our experience, we are now in an identity crisis, because it is the attachment to those things that causes us to go there, right? You think about people talking about grieving and they're grieving for a long time. The grieving process, I believe, is that process of redefining who we are now in the absence of what was there before. So it's confusing, it's frustrating, it's angering, it's depressing, can be all of those things. But if we're focused on the thing that is no longer there, then the grief is not going to get resolved in the way that it could best possibly be resolved. And we end up carrying that energy for however long we have been trained by our various peoples throughout our lives to believe we're supposed to. And we've built this whole process around believing that death is a negative end result. Therefore, when someone dies, it's a loss, and I don't know how to deal with my life anymore because that identity that I created doesn't exist. Duh. That's called evolution. That's why we're here. That all of this co-creative process is all this amazing evolution of our experience. And so if we think of grief in a different way, if we think of grief as an identity crisis, we can focus then in on how have we attached to that person, place, or thing in our environment in a way that is unhealthy, or in a way that we have created our identity around it. I don't believe we're supposed to create our identity around anything. I believe that we are supposed to experience things. We are supposed to have relationships. We are supposed to engage with humans and to play and to enjoy and to grow and to learn and to interact and all of that. And all of that is amazing. But if an object within that field changes, then so do we. I've lost a great number of people, including my father, in the last couple of years, and close friends that I've lost that have transitioned, excuse me. It's so quick. It's so right there that have transitioned, and they've all been incredibly powerful experiences. And what I recognize as a part of my process is that there are moments that I miss them, of course. There are moments that I think, oh, I wish I could call this person, or, oh man, I wish I could go see this person. That's normal. That's a normal experience. I had that experience even before they transitioned. We all do. You know, for people who are transitioned that we don't see as much as we might like to, it's not a lot different than that. It's not a lot different if you're not attending to it in a negative focus. It's just simply a change, and that person is not readily available. But if I'm living in California or Colorado, and this significant person is living in Mexico, and that person transitions and they're no longer here, but I've only seen them once a year or once every couple of years, and maybe talk to them more frequently, I'm going to notice the absence of it. But the reality is, in my day-to-day life, I don't see them all the time. I don't interact with them all the time. So I can still interact with them wherever they are now, right? Whether they're heaven or hell or energy, whatever they are. If I put myself in a space of awareness, if I am in a space of allowing, if I'm in a space of connecting, then I don't feel them as separate from me. I don't feel them as gone. I don't feel them as loss, because I can feel into that anytime I want to. I can feel into that experience. So I encourage you, and so this is the first one. Consider grief is a temporary identity crisis. the identity crisis created from an attachment to the person, place, or thing that we think we are losing or have lost. And the core of all of that is not dealing with the fact that we are going to die, is not confronting our own mortality and standing in the face of that mortality and recognizing that it is just another step in the life process. We have no idea how, when, where, why it's going to happen. I can almost imagine, and I've thought about this a lot, I've contemplated this a ton because it's fascinating to me that this process of transitioning is so regular and yet we demonize it. It's part of our everyday life and yet we're afraid of it because we're looking at the story of how it happened and deciding that impacts how it is for us. When we have no idea what that person went through in the process, we assume because we make up stories about it that we have an idea. But what we don't know is what occurs for every human being that's in the process of transition. Because I don't believe transition is arbitrary or random, right? So if you step into a circumstance, I watched this with actually three different people that I've observed transition, physically stood in front of them, either held them or participated in their transitional process. And in every case, there is a period before they actually transition where they're not terribly tied to this planet anymore. They're not terribly tied to this reality anymore. And we see that as them being in some kind of confusion and pain and horrible space and all of this stuff. And what I began to experience is that they think that's what they're supposed to experience because that's what we're telling them. But their experience is vastly different. What's happening on the inside doesn't correlate to what you're viewing on the outside at all. And so we use that to build into the idea of loss as well. And I want to go back again one time real quick here to talk about the religious aspect, because this is not in any way about anti-religion, because religion believes there's an afterlife. And so they call that heaven or they call it hell, but it's still a transition from this reality to another reality. So if they don't even perceive loss that way, why would we need to? If my loved ones are going to heaven or to hell, whichever, then they're going to somewhere better than supposedly where I am, but they're still intact. So I should be able to relate to them in some form, right? So why experience loss? Why go there? Why need to go there? Because it creates an unnecessary suffering and pain in my experience that doesn't make sense to the human experience. But it's all sourced in this idea that dying is losing. We're all dying, people. We're all getting out of here dead. The physical body, gone. It's gone. It's going to go. All of us. So why would we set it up to feel like a loss? Why do we want to set it up to feel like a failure? That's crazy talk, right? So here, let's go to the next level here. Consider this. Our souls don't experience loss. Our soul does not experience loss. It simply holds the space for change. That's all it does. It doesn't judge. It doesn't have an opinion in that form. It simply holds the space of love for us to explore. If we are that spark of the divine, in this physical reality, we are attempting to realign ourselves, to come to some clarity about that. But we become mired into the human experience so intensely that we forget who we are. We forget that the essence of us, the spark of the divine, the soul that is us, does not experience loss, because loss is an illusion of time and space created by the ego because we believe that dying is losing. Because we believe our lives are nothing more than a dead-end street. That's crazy talk from my perspective. So consider that. The soul has none of that. The ego has all of that, right? The ego, the consciousness that is born of this physical body, what we would probably call our personality in some form or another, that part of us that's attached to the human environment knows that it's terminal. Knows that its existence is terminal. So it is building through us this contrived universe of experience that says death is the bad end result of being human. So do what you can to be a good person, because the God that's up there is looking down and judging you, but we don't know how he's judging you except by maybe these Ten Commandment things. But it's never really clear, because he's judging you continually about who you are and what you are. And in the end, he's going to assess. He is going to assess whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. Again, all ego, all man's version of things we don't understand. And I'm not saying that my answers here are the be-all, end-all. Please, I'm simply, that's why I said everything here. I want you to consider it. Consider it as an option. Because what I want to do here is I want to lighten up this experience. I want us to experience this in a much different way. I want us to experience it as change, plain and simple, change, without all the negative connotation, so that we have the ability to step into these major changes in a much more aligned and stable way. That, I'm not saying that when you have a relationship and a deep relationship with a person, and that person transitions and is no longer in your day-to-day life, that there isn't going to be feelings about that. Of course there are. This is not about not having feelings, but it's about recognizing what you're feeling. Is what you're feeling based in fear or based in love? Because if it's based in love, then you will feel into that experience of that being and you will find them in love. But if you are in fear, you will not find them. And what you will find is a diminishment of your experience and a confusion about who you are, because your attachment to that being in this environment has created an identity crisis for you. They're dead. They don't have an identity crisis anymore. You do. Who am I now without this? Who am I now if this person isn't here to guide my experience? Well, who you are has to evolve. And so that transitioning being is giving you the gift of the ability to learn more about you all by yourself, without the attachment and the crutch of some other being that's propping up either your worthiness or your ability to believe in yourself or who you are or your love. Now, those can be positive or negative experiences, trust me. But the trick is, if that transition takes place in your world, that's a call to you to step into a new view of you, to step into a greater version of you that incorporates their love, that incorporates their support, that incorporates the things that you believe they provided through your attachment to that, them, it, or that. I hope that's making sense. And if it's not, don't hesitate to come over and pop in a question. Ask some questions here if you'd like. All right. So where are we? We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to carry on with this amazing conversation. We'll be right back. Whoops. Bum, bum. All right, guys, I am super excited. Next week already, November 11th through the 14th, the Activate Your Evolution virtual retreat. It is free. It's going to be an amazing event. For 3 days, we got some powerful, powerful presenters and speakers, and I'm one of them, fortunately. I'm going to be presenting on ways to shift state, how to change your relationship with fear by shifting state. Going to be a great presentation. This is going to be a great weekend. It is free. Go over to activateevolution.com, www.activateevolution.com to register. And there'll be giveaways. All of the presenters will be having giveaways and discounted offers, as well as just some awesome material about awakening and about stepping into your evolution in a conscious way, and tools and tips and excellent things to help you expand your experience even more. So www.activateevolution.com. I really want to see you there. Check it out. Get your registration. And again, did I mention it's free? Good. Okay. And with that, we will be right back. Oops. Oh, okay. So, definitely got to check that out, guys. It's going to be a great, 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 great deal here. So where are we? We're considering, and we talked about this a little bit already, that loss is purely an egoic experience. And again, I hear that. I hear that. So why would you go there? Why would you push into this? Why would you, you know, why would you want to stir all this up? And the truth is, because that's kind of what I do. I mean, my whole platform is about changing our relationship with fear. And if we are living in a state of fear on a daily basis because we consider loss such a preeminent thing in our world that we are putting ourselves at odds with ourselves. We are putting our soul and our ego at odds because the soul is simply holding the space for this incredible experience to be here on this planet doing whatever it is we're doing. And the ego is saying, but we have to be afraid because we're going to leave here and it's going to be over. And then we're not going to see these people anymore. And then they go ahead and leave without you. And now your identity is completely screwed up because you don't know who you are without that person or that being or that thing in your life. And so now it becomes a process of evaluation. Well, what if that became a joyous process instead of a devastating process? Or at least became a way of understanding ourselves more deeply. And yes, I see, when people transition in my world, I want them to know how much I love them. I want to express all of that joy that they've brought in my world. I want to connect with them as deeply as possible prior to transition, but then I want that connection to last after transition because I want to know that I can feel into them and that I will get a sense of them wherever they are now, because I have to feel into where they are now. And I don't know where that is because I haven't been there, at least consciously, but I can feel into that. And then things show up in my world that tell me clearly without, and I know probably every one of you out there has had that experience where a loved one who's transitioned has a way of letting us know that they're showing up for us. And they're there for that reason, to show up for us. That should generate joy. That should generate even more love, not fear and devastation. If it's fear and devastation, then we're still stuck in our identity for who we were when they were here or when it was here. And I want us to move past that. I want us to get out of this paradigm that it's all about loss, that it's all about how to avoid loss, how to deal with loss. How to deal with loss is stop using it, stop attending to it, stop focusing on it. Find other ways to deal with it. Tap into that soul experience. That soul experience is all about holding space for change. Ah, big change is afoot. Okay, I'm ready to step into big change. You don't have to have a devastating, horrible, miserable experience of people transitioning. You can have a joyous, positive, uplifting experience when you realize that the transition is that. When you stand in front of a loved one who is in that process and you watch the process and you experience that process, it tells you different than what the book tells you. It tells you differently than what the rest of consciousness of the world is telling you. It's a different process. When you can do that and be there and be present in it and be fully aware of it, it is the most transformational experience you can have, because when you confront your mortality, it changes your relationship with fear. Sorry. It's just that simple. And I know, you know, it isn't simple in the sense that it's dumbed down. It's just simple in clarity. We don't have to live in a state of loss. And I think if we change that, if we, each of us, finds a way to change that state of loss in our own experience, life will completely change, because you'll no longer be afraid of where it's going, or be afraid of when it's ending, or be afraid of what might happen. You're excited and you're joyful in the process. And by virtue of that, you're creating vastly different experiences. You're creating experiences that are born of love and experiences that are born of joy, not experiences that are born of fear and death and devastation. I don't want anyone to experience loss. And it's an amazing thing for me, and has been for years. And I'm so grateful to get to have this conversation, because I'm always confused when people, especially, you know, social media is a great place for that, where people share, people have transitioned, this particular person has transitioned, this person has died. And all the people are, my God, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. Your loss must be devastating. Oh, I'm sorry for your loss. And I sit and I just kind of scratch my head and I can't respond to that. I can't put that in words on a piece because I don't feel it. I don't believe it. And I certainly don't want to support it for anyone. So it's always an interesting juxtaposition for me in those situations. Then I have to find something more positive to say, sending lots of love, sending lots of good juju, sending, you know, something that acknowledges a positive energy in the experience. I know there's a ton of books about grieving. I know there's a ton of books about loss. And I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I'm not saying anybody's right. I'm just having a different experience that I want you to consider. I'm sharing this because I want you to consider an alternative to loss that is not fear-based. So if we boil it all down, the choices that we make, and this has come up so much a lot recently, our choices ultimately are we choosing fear or are we choosing love? Are we choosing fear or are we choosing love? If you are in a situation where you are confronting a transition of some sort, are you confronting it? Are you stepping into it in love or are you confronting it in fear? Are you allowing the energy of all of the people who may be involved in this to influence how you are able to be with the process? Am I saying that you don't need to have tears? No, you need to have your process however you have your process. I would encourage you, and my encouragement of today is to change your perspective of loss to something else. Use the word transition. Don't use the word loss. Find a different word. If you misplace an object, say you misplaced it. Don't say you lost it. Remove losing things. Remove lost from your vocabulary. Remove lost from your consciousness wherever you can. I'm not saying to rush out and have a near-death experience so that you can find that different place to be with this. But know that confronting your mortality will change your life, because when you lose the biggest fear of life, when you lose that, look at all the space you're going to have left to enjoy, to experience, to embrace. When you lose that fear, whether it's fear through religion, whether it's fear through parents, whether it's fear through your own experience, yes, it can be challenging. Yes, you may have an experience where you observe someone who transitioned and it doesn't look good at all. It looks ugly. It looks gross. It looks devastating. That story, what they experienced probably is nothing like what you're experiencing. And the thing that I find powerful, and I talked about this a little bit before when my ex-wife transitioned about a month or two ago. And one of the things that was extraordinary to me was realizing that she was in a very different space than we were talking to her in. And we were talking to her from discomfort. We were talking to her from pain. We were talking to her from our viewpoint of what she must be going through. And she had a death rattle going on easily a week before she passed. And we would ask her about it, and she'd look at me completely confounded, not having any idea what I was talking about. What do you mean? I'm fine. I'm breathing. I'm good. You know, not that she was in denial. It was just, what was happening on the inside was not what was happening on the outside. So where are we at with this? So I want to just continue in this process I want to go back to this idea of the identity crisis. So here we are, we're living our lives, the people and places and things that are in our lives, and we are entrained to become attached. We are entrained to be fearful. We are entrained to build an identity based on other people. And so we do that. Many of us do that throughout the course of our lives. And then as those people or places or things transition, we are devastated beyond belief because we no longer have. This happens a lot with jobs. It happens with people, but let's bring it down to the practical reality of day-to-day life. I'll use an example that took place in my household. When we first moved here to Colorado, Michael was working for a company he had been with for 18 years. And the good news was that tenure enabled us to transfer here easily because he was still employed and he just ended up continuing to work here. And about 9 months into that experience, he was let go from his job. And it was the best possible thing that could have happened. But the transition that he went through in that was, for him, challenging and somewhat devastating at times. There was a powerful transition that went on because his identity was all tied into that experience, the experience of who he was as a manager, the experience of who he was as an employee, the experience of who he was within the company, and what he could accomplish and how good he was at what he did. And all of those things were tied into his identity. And when that job went away, the identity that he had crashed to the ground. Not because any of the things he was able to do, he still couldn't do, but his identity was tied to them in that environment, in that specific situation. And so the identity crisis that ensued was a bit devastating for a good two weeks, I think. It wasn't this, messy bother thing. It was just processing the change, processing all that went on, not blaming himself for the change, embracing the change because the change was actually the best possible thing that could have happened. And that it was the only way that he was going to get out of that job because he was attached to that degree, that he wanted to be there and do that. And there's nothing, I'm saying bad, wrong, none of that. It's just, this is the circumstance. And so as that process evolved, he went through all of it, but it was all about taking what we tried to focus on and what we did focus on after we got past that initial piece of shock was look at the incredible opportunity this has presented to you. And we got to look at, through the course of this experience, all of the ways that this change was about his evolution. And it wasn't about the loss of anything. It was about his evolution as a man, as a being, as a worker, as a manager, as a human, as a husband, as a partner. All of it got to be evaluated because of this massive change that took place in the environment. And because we didn't focus into that as loss, but as opportunity, it radically changed the outcome of the program. It radically changed his outcome. Because while he recovered, his body and his energy went through an entirely incredible process of change. And it took time. It took time, and there are still pieces of it a year and a half later, 2 years later, that are still resolving. That's how impactful this stuff is. But as you get more conscious of the process of transition and evolution and stop thinking in terms of loss, that transition comes a little easier because you're not limiting your perspective and you're not attaching to anything. And that's the key here is surrendering the attachments. Know that if you are attached, if something leaves your world, you will have an equal reaction to the level of attachment that you've assessed of that thing. Did you follow that? If you have an attachment, you will experience a devastation to the degree that you are attached to that thing. So it's important. And when I say attached, that means your identity is somehow attached to that person, place, or thing. And so the work then begins about unattaching. And sometimes that first really hard experience of transition is the one where we see it the strongest, is the one where we get the chance to confront our mortality, is the one where we get to confront our attachments to our viewpoints of ourselves and others, how we live in the world. It's incredible to me how deeply layered this can become. And it's incredible to me that we've spent an entire lifetime of industry looking for ways to help people navigate through grief without talking about the fact that they're focused in a concept that doesn't exist anywhere but in the mind of the ego. It doesn't exist. We don't lose anything. We are constantly evolving. We change. Some things go away. Some things transition. But transformation, our life in and of itself is a transcending and including experience. So we don't lose anything. All of these experiences, all of this life that we are participating in becomes all of who we are. I have not lost anything in my life, whether I was dealing with cancer or parasites or sick people, or it didn't really matter. I didn't lose anything throughout my life. All of it rolled into the next chapter. And it became the foundation for my next step and the foundation for my evolution again and the foundation for my evolution again and the foundation for my evolution again, just like it does for you every single time. So as you take these things in, we'll start at the top one more time here just to go through them, dealing with loss, this new perspective. So the first consider that losses change without the negative focus. That's the first one. Losses simply change without the negative focus. I say that because our soul doesn't experience loss. The soul does not have an experience. The soul is holding space for this entire life experience and all that it encompasses, all of it. It holds the space for change because change is inevitable. Loss is not. Change is inevitable. Loss is not. So as you think about your experiences, are you choosing love or are you choosing fear? Are you choosing love or are you choosing fear? And then grief, that temporary identity crisis created by the change to our environment and experience. A temporary identity crisis due to attachment and caused by fear. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I know. That's why I like to talk about these things, because there are ways to be in the world that are not fraught with fear. And if we can confront our mortality, if we can stand in the face of knowing that, yes, we are going to transition. But if you stand in that moment, if you sit in that and imagine that moment to yourself, who hasn't done that? I know I have, where you wonder, what's it going to happen? What's it going to feel like? Do you know, every time I've done it, I've never been able to feel a negative experience. I feel all kinds of experiences. I feel all kinds of interesting anticipatory energies, but I don't feel fear. So I don't feel negatively about it. I feel overwhelmed at it. I feel confused by it. I feel, wow, I don't know what this is going to be like. And yeah, according to reincarnational theory, we've all done this many times, so it should be a non-event. And I think when we confront our mortality in this lifetime and realize it, I think we get the benefit of all of that experience in seeing that. And with that, I want to say how much I appreciate all of you out there. Remember that when you're dealing with this idea of loss, let's lose it from the vocabulary, from my perspective. Nothing to lose. If you have a physical object, you've misplaced it, it doesn't need to be lost. It's misplaced. If it's misplaced, then potentially it can be found. Potentially it can be reacquainted with you because it's just simply been misplaced. People transition, animals transition, life transitions, we all transition. Consider that perspective that we are all in transition. And if we don't have the negative implication of it, then it can be a joyous transition. It can be a transition of expansion. And that's where we ultimately want to be, not in loss, not in suffering. Let's lose that paradigm. Let's change that paradigm for good. Let's move in a different direction. Let's find our joy and let's choose love instead of fear. Because when we choose love, what we see is vastly different from the view that we see when we choose fear. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Adventures in Truth family. I appreciate you all very much. Have an amazing weekend, and I will look forward to seeing you next time on Adventures in Truth Livecast. Take care, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescientetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.